You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is Clark from 5cardguys.com and 5cardguys on Instagram. With me co-hosting as usual is John, who is Trade You at Recess on IG. And back again filling in for Hyung is our good friend Will. And by the time this episode airs, it will be January 2024. So hope you guys had a happy new year and hope you're excited for another fun year in the hobby. We'll be here with you guys providing hobby content here on the podcast. And if you haven't already, I'm planning to upload more podcast related clips on the 5cardguys YouTube channel as well this year. So please subscribe there as well. And thank you. All right, off the top. To start things off in 2024, I wanted to ask you, John and Will, what are your hobby goals for this year? You know, any grail cards you're hoping to pick up? Or are you still in selling mode? While you guys think about what your hobby goals might be, I'll start because I got a pretty big one, okay? And it is, I will be attending the National this year.
Ooh!
All right?
Oh, finally.
Finally, ooh, yes.
Where is it at?
It's in Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Late July? Right? So, barring any unforeseen circumstances, I am fully planning to be in Cleveland, as I mentioned, in late July. It'll be my first time there, and man, I can't wait. So if you listeners already know you're going to be there, let me know, and maybe we can connect at the show, of course, and even do a few kind of impromptu pod episodes. That'll be cool. Maybe make some trades. So I talked to my wife about it already. I'm like, I have to go this year, or 2024. And she's like, when is it? I'm like, end of July. I'm just booking that time off. I just got to go this year. And she's like, okay, fine. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, that's my big news. I hope you guys can join me. I know it's still months away, but it'll be great if you guys can come as well. But I'm just saying, I'm going to be there. So there you go.
Oh, man. I'm so jealous. And I mean, you're saying that it's a long time away, but...
It'll come soon enough.
It will.
To get my wife's permission, I think I need at least 1 year advance notice to her. So it's kind of close. I gotta go buy her I gotta go buy her something really nice right now.
I have a big yearly fishing trip, and it's like second week of July. So that it's going to be a tough sell.
You know, just make a detour and make your way to Cleveland after your...
there's fish in Cleveland.
Yeah, Northern Quebec. I'll just make a quick detour south to Cleveland.
Okay. That's a big U-turn, but that's you know.
Yeah, it's doable.
And in Cleveland, it is only a five-hour drive from where we are.
Is it really?
Yeah, oh, closer than Chicago.
Oh, it's just a day trip, John. We just go. Yeah,
just book up 1 day of work, John. Come on.
Yeah, day trip.
We'll go like early 5. Let's leave at 5 in the morning. Yeah, you get there at 10. Full day of trading. Full day of you know.
It's not like walking around for the entire day is tiring or anything. We can make the drive home afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, 1 hour back, you're like, guys, we gotta sleep in the parking lot. I'm exhausted. All right, so that's my big news.
That's a good one.
I'm excited. Yeah, I think Hyung is also, he did say we have to go. So I'm pretty sure Hyung is going to try to make it as well.
Nice.
So we'll be repping the pod there. But yeah, how about you guys?
Roy's going to go.
Roy will go, yeah.
Roy will definitely go.
Roy, yes. Come on. Let's do it. I know you're listening. Man.
Will and I should have went first. We're going to be like, oh, my hobby goal is to rip a box of...
My hobby goal is to preserve my cash flow and just take it easy this year.
Oh, man.
I'm
adding that to my list. That's one of my hobby goals to be there. I think that would be awesome.
That's a good one. I didn't even think about that as a goal.
Wow.
That'd be fun.
Good stuff. I'll go. Man, that's a hard one to follow. Yeah, you know what? For mine, it's more about my collection. I think last year, actually the last couple of years. No, sorry, I take that back, because a couple of years ago we were all loving our entire collections. But this past year in specific, I think, you know, most of us have, you know, Zion case, whatever you want to call it, a protective case for your slabs. Yep. And I personally kind of start to get a little tired of the collection I had in this giant case. And obviously I have a, you know, 5 to 10 cards there that are totally PC, not worth too much money. Just things that were very memorable for me as a kid. But I kind of started last year. I have another tiny case that holds maximum, I think, 8 slabs.
Yeah.
And I think the goal for 2024 is to almost get rid of everything that's in the bigger case and to make my entire collection like 5 cards. Five bigger cards. And I, you know, at the end of the day, once that happens, I may ultimately get bored of that and then switch back to getting a bunch of cards again. But right. I think for 2024, I want to have 5 big cards and try to make that happen. So,
I like that.
Yeah. I think that my next target, and it's a little, teaser to my 1v1, but I might be looking to try and trade up or sell a bunch of my bigger cards pre-expo in April so that I have cash on hand to try to get a Crosby Future Watch Auto. That might be my next goal.
Wanting that. Yeah. Nice. I like that plan.
I like that. That's actually pretty much, that was my third point that I was going to make. I'm going to liquidate just all my stuff that I have that I don't love.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just going to, just consider 2024 like a restart or like a refresh. Like, it's been long enough. Like, these cards that I'm hoping will return their value, they're not. They're garbage cards. Like, I've been rejected so many times at the expo, I can't handle the rejection anymore.
Yeah. So what are you talking about? You don't want Karl Anthony Towns. He's amazing.
Oh man. Did I ever tell you guys the Karl Anthony Towns story?
No.
So
Carl Anthony Towns stories.
So it wouldn't be a podcast with me and John without us extending and going into like weird tangents.
But I love it.
But very early on, before I had purchased any cards, I was at Roy's house, and at the time I lived near John.
Yeah.
Which is weird because now I live next to Roy. But back then, I lived next to John, and I was with Roy, and Roy handed me a bag of like just like random things, like kids' toys and whatever. He's like, "Hey, can you go drop this off to John?" And I'm like, "Sure." And then basically John gave me a bag. Oh no, John gave me the bag. And then he gave something to me, and it was a Karl Anthony Towns, was it rainbow dye?
Oh, tie-dye?
Tie-dye card.
Yeah.
And I thought he was thanking me for running an errand for him, and he just gave me the card. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. And I'm not thinking much of it. I've never purchased the card. I'm just starting my research into cards.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird that he would give me a card for free. And then I looked it up, and it was like, at the time, it was like, what, worth like a couple thousand?
I don't know. I think it was like
a thousand. It was like worth a lot of money.
It was $1,000. Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is, he didn't give this to me. He accidentally left it in a bag or something.
Right.
Yeah, that reminds me way back when, early on. So, I was such a noob.
Oh, yeah.
I thought John was gifting me $2,000 cards.
Yeah. So. I think in retrospect, it's better to be the noob than myself, who was the quote unquote veteran that spent $1,000 on Karl Anthony Towns.
Hey, you should recheck those prices.
He's
playing
well.
Oh,
the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves, yeah.
You should recheck. The market has gone down, but
I still
but
have he's, that tie-dye. He's doing well. I'm holding out hope.
So anyway, back to what I was saying. Definitely, I want to liquidate everything. Yeah. Stuff that I don't love. You know, I'll sell it at a loss, but I'm buying cards at a discounted price, right? Exactly. So it's like the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that for 2024. I think I'm going to try and get something Tiger Woodsy. Yeah. Not like just like the base PSA 10, but something a little bit nicer. I know, John, you have a pretty nice Tiger Woods card. Which one is it?
It's the rookie SP preview gold out of... Yeah.
Out of, what is it?
I don't know. I think it's out of 250 or something.
Yeah.
It's PSA 10. It's like pop 15 or something like that.
Yeah, that's like, a nice that's one. A beauty card. So something like that. Because the other day I rewatched the 2019 Masters.
Oh.
Because like Tiger was just playing in the PNC Championship with his son. And I felt all nostalgic for the 2019 Masters. So and the Masters uploads it on their YouTube channel. So I watched like 6 hours of... just Tiger on that final round, and I was like,
yeah,
I was crying by the end of it. It was so beautiful. So so I think I gotta target a nice Tiger,
like an auto. And then,
nice auto. And then I want to hopefully complete some of these open rainbows that I have, where I'm just waiting for like one card that like just not showing up. So I'm hoping this is the year where I finally get to complete some of these rainbows.
Yeah. No, that'd be cool. You reminded me of, I should have brought this up in our last episode of 2023. One of my accomplishments was finishing that home field advantage set.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like a mini set that's, you know, relatively inexpensive to complete. So that'll be another one of my goals, probably. I got to find one that I kind of like. It won't be another home field advantage. They just keep adding...
Yeah.
Like cards to it. I was like, this is ridiculous, you know? I thought, oh, I could finish a subset of 10 and then became 30 really quickly. And then they did it again the following year. I'm like, forget about that. So, but, you know, I like the plan. What you both you guys mentioned it about liquidating. Like I did that last year and even the year and a half ago where, you know, you guys make fun of me sometimes because I have that big case. And when I open it up, there's literally three cards inside. Right? I have three slabs in there now. But it's because I liquidated, you know, for a nice 30, 40% loss. But to your point, it's cash on hand to buy new cards that are heavily discounted. Like, for example, when I got the Mike Trout and the Luca, you know, I paid about combined, those two cards combined, I paid 6 plus 6, so 12,000. For those two cards alone. But at the peak, Luka was 25,000 and the Mike Trout was about 20,000. So that's $45,000.
Yeah.
If I wanted those cards in 2021.
Wow.
And buying that for 12K, you know. All right. Well, we'll see at the end of this year, 2024, how close we get to our goals. You know, I don't want to be at the end. I'm like, guys, I tried to make it to the national, but I couldn't do it.
So that'll hopefully be the saddest episode in like early August. Like, yeah. Hey guys, welcome to the podcast.
It's like you might have noticed that I wasn't at the national this year, despite my excitement in the January episode of 2024 of being there. But no, we'll see. I'm gonna definitely try my best. Okay, let's move on to hobby headlines. So I was curious to see.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What the Card Ladder Index data showed for the sports card and trading card market over the course of 2023, just this past year. And not surprisingly, it was pretty grim, but to be expected with the state of the economy and all. So I thought I would pull some key data and then maybe we can discuss if we're surprised at all by what the data shows. And then let's also discuss whether we think that trend will continue in 2024 or if we think it'll reverse trend, okay? Or if it'll stay the same, more or less. All right, so I want to start with the only two index categories that have increased in 2023. Okay, so when you look at the different category index on Card Ladder, everything is red except these two categories. Okay, and one of them is Star Wars cards. Okay, that's plus 26.48%. and entertainment, which when I looked at the cards, it includes comic cards like Superman, Batman, those old school cards, movie cards, music cards, and celeb cards like Kim Kardashian.
Pop Century,
yeah, that kind of stuff. That's plus 15.64%
right.
from January of 2023 to the end of 2023. So those are the only two index categories that saw green, right? So surprised at that, that those were the only ones that saw any increases, significant increases. And do you think that trend will continue or not?
I'm surprised that there are indexes that went up in 2023 in general.
Right.
I'd imagine the entertainment one is carried by Disney and Taylor Swift, but Star Wars is pretty surprising because Star Wars had their moment in 2022. So I would have imagined Star Wars to, you know, maybe obviously not dip as hard as Marvel, because I think Marvel clearly went to the moon and back.
Yeah.
But Star Wars being the biggest number of everything is quite surprising. Do they mention a set in particular that kind of carried the weight of the index going that high?
I
know Topps, I mean, they had, you know, there's Star Wars Chrome and there was Sapphire, but I don't recall it, you know, being crushing sales or anything too crazy.
Yeah, that's a good question. I can't tell by this chart right off the bat, but.
Oh, you know what it includes? You know what it could be? I think I remember seeing a bunch of PSA 10 sales of that original Topps. Is it Topps? You know the original Star Wars set, the one with the blue, light blue borders?
Yes, 1977.
Star Wars, I remember seeing Card Letter post a couple. I think it was like Luke Skywalker PSA 10. There was a bunch that kind of popped up on PWCC, and they went for, you know, for those cards, like record breaking prices. So I had
Funny enough, speaking of that, just to interrupt quickly, that Luke Skywalker card number one from 1977, PSA 10, sold in November of this past year for $78,000. Yeah.
Damn.
Pop nine.
Yeah, so I would think that is carrying a bit of the load.
Yes.
My guess.
But yeah, there you go. How about you, Will?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that Star Wars is doing that well. I'm surprised baseball took as much of a hit as it did, because usually baseball stays kind of even keel for the most part. But yeah, I mean, the entertainment stuff, like, I don't know, like, who's really collecting those stuff and how many? Like, I feel like it's just like a couple big cards or like a Taylor Swift card or something. That's what like is messing the whole, like, it's skewing everything.
Oh man, I just have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people saying, "Will, you don't know what you're talking about." We're going to hear it. It's like, what do you mean a couple of people?
There were zero sales of any of those cars, and it happened to be one Taylor Swift auto that sold, and it just blossomed the index.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I was actually just watching Ken Golden. He did an IG live. I think it was yesterday, or it might have been earlier today, actually. And they just finished a pop culture auction, you know. And he was mentioning that auction killed it, And he was saying and I think even the great curator reposted something Ken Golden put on his page, saying how he's just bullish on pop culture. So it looks like there seems to be some kind of trend. So on that front, just based on that information alone and just some of the preliminary data we saw in terms of the index, I think there's momentum. I don't think it'll see the same kind of increase, but I certainly don't think it will drop significantly like what we've seen with the traditional sports, you know, like baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. Yeah.
Right. So, if they bring out sets of pop culture iconic moments, you know, like it's kind of how they did with George Costanza National Treasures. Right. But I mean, that was a relic. But if they brought out, for example, like George Costanza in Seinfeld, and it was Jason Alexander's like on-card autos. So like iconic images of movie moments or whatever with an on-card auto of the actor, and sets start rolling out like that, whether it's Leaf or whoever has the rights. I think that that type of set would do so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good one. And, you know, we just saw, I think we talked about it maybe a month or 2 months ago, Leaf changed ownership. And we were suggesting how they can do better. And,
exactly.
And you were mentioning on-card autos for East Pop Century.
Yeah, just imagine like your favorite show, like Room for just pick the Office, right? And you get some of the... Because I remember I saw quad auto of The Office and I thought it was cool. But again, it's like, you know, it's a quad sticker. It's like, it's all right. I don't...
like Michael Scott basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that would kill it. That'd be a good chase.
Yeah.
You know what? I was just flipping through the card ladder index for those two categories. And if you look, there are actually a lot of like older cards.
Right.
So I get it. It's like, it's essentially just vintage. But it's like...
good point.
So it's not like it's mass produced or anything like that. And maybe some of these cards like that, the Luke Skywalker card, you know, that's not a card that shows up all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
Right? So... and then if Golden just did like this huge, huge thing where they're focusing on these rarer cards, it's like, I get it, because like it's a once in a lifetime kind of card that pops up. So you're gonna have people really, really desperate to get it and competing with each other.
Very true.
So I see it. I get it now that I look at it. Yeah, and Taylor Swift, like she's awesome. I love. Yeah. I don't want to be on the bad side of Swifties. I'm a Swiftie.
Me too. I'm not ashamed to say it. When, anyway.
Don't mess with those fan bases. I love Taylor Swift. I love Blackpink. I love... I love hockey. I love hockey, guys.
I think there's footage in our archives where Will says something very different about hockey. So we don't want to dig that up. But anyway, let's go to the next point. The biggest drop in 2023 might be a little surprising because we're talking about entertainment and Star Wars cards, but the biggest drop in 2023 is Marvel cards that saw a drop of -76.89% from the beginning of the year. Kind of not surprised at all with that because I know there was like a big pump on Marvel cards. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, to your point that you just mentioned, Will, it's not... there's not a lot of vintage Marvel cards to keep that kind of foundation up. It's all...
It's 1990. Right. Yeah, and that's the height of...
junk wax.
It's the height of junk wax, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the thing is the supply outmeets the demand.
Great point.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie, I'm super excited to start collecting some more Marvel stuff.
Good opportunity.
Yeah, like I bought a couple sealed boxes of the 1991 set, and I've just been waiting to buy boxes of the 1990, which is the first series, and then the 92. Mm. Yeah, because those 3 years, 90, 91, 92, I had those cards growing up. And so it's super nostalgic. So I'm just waiting for prices to keep going down on those sealed boxes, and then I'm going to buy them, rip them open, and just... love having them.
I think it's 92. One of the years they came out with the 3D hologram. I think one was Wolverine and one was Spider-Man battling Hobgoblin. And it's like a full 3D hologram. I don't know where I put them, and I clearly don't have them anymore, but I had both of those. I'm assuming they're not worth too much, but I remember...
No, they're worth
it. Is it? Yeah, I remember they're being really, really hard to get.
Of the 91. Yeah, they're hard to get.
Remember when the Spider-Man red?
I was about to mention PNG? That. Yeah, I was about to mention. I wonder how much that's worth right now.
Oh man, remember PMGs? Those were like
I wonder.
Pumped to the moon.
I'm gonna look up the Spider-Man red PMG. Maybe I can find it before the show ends. But I was wondering how far down, if at all, it has come since the hobby height when we were talking about it.
You know what segment you need to add to your podcast? You need to add a segment that's like, thank God I didn't buy that. And then you could ask like viewers or listeners to the show, it's like, what is the card that you are so glad that you didn't end up buying? Right? Like, Man, that Spider-Man PMG, like, everyone wanted it. That Boba Fett taco fractor, ooh.
That,
like, thank God I didn't buy that.
That Vladdy super fractor that Will wanted us all to chip in for. Oh, thank goodness we didn't go for that one. You don't remember that?
I think we should still... It was the Topps Chrome Super, right?
Yeah. It was a timing.
I still think we should.
What did it end up going? Anyways, not important. Yeah, I can't remember.
All right. I like that segment idea. We'll definitely do that in the future. Yeah. Because I've got a couple for sure that I'm like, whoo, dodged a bullet.
It's like, well, you've really dodged a bullet. Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. For the third point, let's look at the four major sports in North America and see how they did. And I'll start from the one with the biggest loss, football, minus 40.6%. Let me read them off and then we can talk about it all together. So football, minus 40.6%. Then basketball, minus 28.5%. Third is hockey, minus 17.77%. And the last is baseball, minus 16.61%, which is a drop, but you kind of mentioned that, Will. Usually baseball is kind of steady, you know, when it comes to... Yeah. The four sports.
I think vintage just kind of holds value too.
So. That makes total sense. Yeah. So what do you guys think? Just the four sports there, even in relation to one another.
I think that makes complete sense. Yeah. Football, basketball, clearly the most volatile. If you want to play that sort of catch the fire game, it can perfectly work. Hockey, similar to baseball for different reasons, but hockey, I think because most of the majority of the market is in Canada. It does hold a very stable price line, like Young Guns and Future Watch.
Yeah.
You know, if you had $20,000 worth of Future Watch from 2021, you know, versus now with anything else, I bet you most of your cards have retained their value, right? I mean, you probably didn't make a lot of money, but you certainly probably didn't lose too much money. So. Yeah, that's the nature of hockey.
Yep.
I mean, I get it because football, like, I love football. Like, I love watching football. I just don't get football cards. They don't do it for me. And I feel like nobody grew up collecting football cards.
Well, football was like, right? I mean, we come from Canada.
It was like pro set. But
football, like score football. It was third, fourth tier.
They weren't great cards. Yeah, like you grew up collecting baseball cards, so or hockey cards for us.
Oh man, football
and even basketball. Like I collected
93 or 94. Football was I was really into football. Like when Peyton Manning came in, I was huge into Peyton Manning. I was like chasing him. Although for some reason, I don't have any Peyton Manning rookie cards. I don't know if I never got them or clearly I didn't do a good job chasing, but. I remember it got good then. I mean, like, 90s, you had score and pro set, like, pretty awful. And then Upper Deck was introduced. But, you know, very, very lackluster. But I remember, I think it was around 93, 94. Yeah. Anyways.
You know, like, and with football, too, like, the ones that have dropped down are, like, the more modern QBs that everyone's gambling on. And especially this year, like, if you bought any QB prospects or rookies, you got burned. Like this year has been bad for QBs, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's so volatile. And it doesn't surprise me that it's a minus 40% drop.
Yeah. Well, that whole market, it doesn't make sense. Like we're all just chasing QBs.
Right.
Like,
none of the position players are worth as much.
It makes you feel like every other card that you get is just completely useless. But it's like, you know, you don't like, like if you support a team, like you care a lot about your QB, but most of the time your QB is not that great. Mm-hmm. So you focus on your receivers or you focus on your defense. And, you know, like, but in the hobby, nobody cares about any other card besides a QB, right? So I don't know. I just don't understand that market. I feel like it's all propped up by gamblers and.
And it's way bigger in America too, right? Like the US in terms of like just, you know, even I listen to a lot of other sports card podcasts and we probably talk about football the least because I don't know, it's because maybe we're Canadian and we love baseball first and foremost, but it's
Yeah, I mean, it makes
I'm a Steelers fan.
It makes
fan,
sense.
So
if you grew up in football country, I mean, growing up, high school football, all of that stuff, like who's the stud, right? It's always the QB. Like he's the stud of high school prom and et cetera, et cetera. So I think it spills into NFL. Like, yeah, it should make sense if you think about the context and background.
Yep. All makes sense to me. All right. The last point I want to make is taking a look at the other, you know, I don't want to say major sports, but, you know, popular sports or like kind of niche sports that have also seen big drops. So let's look at UFC or MMA, minus 56.2%. Tennis, minus 43.49%. Racing, so I guess that's F1. Minus 30.84%. Soccer, minus 41.11%. And golf, minus 24.79%.
Ooh.
Anything you surprised there?
Yeah, I'm surprised you called soccer a niche sport. You're going to receive some hate.
Sorry. Oh, man. That's around the world. I'm going to hear from around the world.
You're in trouble, Clark.
Sorry, North America, we just think we're the center of the world and soccer is just not there yet. But I love soccer, guys. Just like Will loves hockey, I love soccer, okay? But man. Minus 41, let's talk about that. Like, I feel like with soccer, if you're not in Europe or like other countries there where soccer is popular, isn't it like a once every 4 year thing? Do you know what I mean? Like it's a World Cup, you get excited about it, or maybe like the Euros, or you know some higher level competition, tournament play, which is every 2 years. But you know there's not that consistency, I guess, that you see in the major sports we just talked about, right, where it's every year we're used to a new season, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of these numbers you're seeing, the hobby or the industry kind of revert back to collectors. That's kind of what happened over the last 18 months, right? Soccer blossomed. I mean, soccer's worldwide. It's incredibly, probably the most popular sport in the world. But in North America, especially for collecting, you know, most of us were collecting. Let's be honest. We were, you know, if we were collecting soccer, it was because we were speculating that it could become the greatest sports card sport because of the potential, right? And I think that's what everybody was sort of leaning on. And now that the hobby has come down quite a bit, back down to earth, I think like three of us and most of the people we talk to, we're left with a lot of sort of collectors more than we are investors. And what's going to happen is you're going to collect what you love, which is mostly in North America, right? So I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for fanatics and soccer in general. We'll see what happens. But, you know, sports card is not a huge, it's not, you know, as clearly it's not as huge out there than it is in North America. Because if it was at all incredibly popular, I think soccer would be easily the king right now, right? So, you know, that's soccer. I think for me, what I'm more curious about is at this point, what's going to happen with F1? I think we talked about F1 in great length over the last couple of years. To be honest, I think F1, you didn't really see as much of a drop in F1 this year because most of the drop probably happened the year prior.
Sure. Right.
And at this point, F1 is just one of those things where, you know, there's not really, you know, you got the 10, 12 best in the world just yearly competing round and round. And there's no real new chase. You know, how many times can you chase Max Verstappen? So I'm going to be curious whether F1 has the ability to be a standalone product moving forward. I would suspect it doesn't.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's no chase anymore. If it's not the first year of it, it's like, what's the point? Yeah. So they have to, like, as a card, like, on the card side, they have to reinvent what kind of cards they're making, because how many Max Verstappen cards can I collect?
I think for like the other ones where, you know, UFC, tennis, and even golf, when the hobby was like blowing up, any sport, you're like, oh, there could be money made in cards with even like these, you know, non-major sports in North America, right? But then with the hobby kind of coming back, selling down, yeah, you see like, okay, you don't have the hardcore collectors in these newer sports or in these more niche or more, you know, minor sports than you do in football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, right? So I think it makes sense. We're seeing these big drops in like UFC is a perfect example of that. But, you know, in terms of like trying to retain some of those collectors or grow the collector base, maybe you have to do something like, you know, add utility, what we were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about F1, maybe a utility is like you get to go see a race. I don't know. Just an idea.
I think eventually you got to put all of these into like a singular Topps Chrome or whichever brand, a singular set.
Like an all sports. Yeah.
Maybe it's, I'm going to exclude soccer, but for the rest, like tennis, UFC.
Goodwin Champions, it already exists.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like kind of similar to like a Goodwin Champions, but
yeah. Except better quality, not like a construction paper stock.
I mean, I guess it kind of works. Like if they have like good inserts or good, like I really like Upper Deck Exquisite.
Sure.
Yeah. Cards that, and they have a lot of the like tertiary sports. Mm-hmm.
True.
Tennis was brutal. Like I was so looking forward to tennis, and I think they had such poor execution. It was so rushed. They didn't get enough licensing for players for autos, and they didn't even put any thought into like maybe putting some sort of cool case hit, like a color blast or anything like that. Like nothing. It was just yeah. All you were doing is trying to chase like Coco Gauff autographs or whatever name is. Yeah, it was rough. It's really disappointing.
What I've also learned too with you know just the rollout of the cards for those sports like tennis and golf is that you can't bank on like Netflix specials to you know to really buoy up the market. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when the hobby was booming, it was like, oh, the Netflix special's coming out.
Yeah.
Let's get in on it. Yeah. I think those days are gone now.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was certainly wrong on that for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, that's an interesting trend. We'll see if, I guess we didn't really talk about it, but do you think this, any of the, you know, trends that we talked about for any of these sports or, you know, even the entertainment and Marvel, Star Wars, do you think any of them reverse trends? Is there anyone that's any category that you think might rebound this year? Or do you think it's going to be more of the same in 2024?
I want to say Marvel because I'm such a fan. And, you know, I personally would love to continue to collect. Like, you know, Will's got the 1990 and 91, 92 collection trying to go for it. But there's just, even in the movie scene, there's just so much fatigue with Marvel right now. Like Disney is just butchering the name. So I it's hard for me to really believe the fanfare on Marvel is just going to be out of this world in this coming year. But mm-hmm. I still think Marvel has great potential if they execute the cards properly. What was the year of... It was Fleer or Skybox, like masterpieces. Remember that set? Like 93. Like the one with the amazing artwork. Oh, they need to bring that. They need to bring that back. I don't know if they already did.
Marvel.
Yeah, masterpieces. Maybe they did bring it back, but that I love that set.
Yeah. You know what I didn't include in this? And I was just looking at it because we were talking about Pokemon a couple of weeks ago with Roy. Mm-hmm. -5%. Like, that's why we wanted Roy on because like, we're kind of joking in that episode. It's like he's the only guy that's making money right now because he's collecting Pokemon cards, and it makes sense with the data. Like it hasn't really dropped off that much since the beginning of this year.
Right.
And that's a trend. Like I'm actually earlier today before we recorded, I bought a couple of like I bought that Pokemon Van Gogh or Pikachu Van Gogh's card from off of Roy.
Oh yeah.
So I'll pick it up from tomorrow. So I'm all in. I'm all in with Pokemon. Just educating myself and getting into it. So we'll see how it goes for me on that front in 2024.
2024. My biggest regret is
I bought all the wrong Pokemon cards.
I bought all of Roy's crappy cards. They're worth nothing.
Yeah, I'll rewind to this episode for our last episode of 2024. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. All right, let's move on to our next segment. It's called Just a Thought. Okay, we wanted to redo this segment where we just brainstorm any ideas that we think could make the hobby better, especially when Will got back on the pod, because he thought of a cool idea and mentioned it in our sports card chat group about a month ago. So Will, did you want to start things off and share what you came up with, and then we could and then add more ideas to it afterwards?
Yeah. I forget how I got the thought, but I think it had something to do with Fanatics kind of taking over both of the major sports, baseball and basketball. So I was like, man, it would be so cool if you could get dual autos across different sports. So for example, you know, us being Toronto based, like how cool would it be to have Vladdy Guerrero sign a card with Scotty Barnes?
Right.
Like that'd be pretty cool. And so I was just like, in my mind, I was just like playing with all these ideas. Like you could do like champion, like city champions. So I mean, Toronto is like, you could have Kawhi sign with Joe Carter.
Yeah.
Signing with, and I had to dig real back on Google to find this, Dave Keon.
The Leafs, yeah.
Dave Keon is 83 years old.
Why Dave Keon?
And he's like one of a, because he's one of a handful of the remaining Leafs champions from champions. The 67 year.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like city champions. I'm like, oh my God, like it's been so long. We can't have. You know,
do you
like,
think that would do yeah, you think so that would increase or decrease the value just having Dave Keon like a random Keon?
Oh, like for Toronto fans it would definitely decrease. Like how cool would that be? You see all three of them, but like, you know, like if you're in like a city that's won more recent championships, it's like you could have like Tom Brady with Big Poppy and I don't know, Zdeno Chara
or Brad Marchand,
I don't know.
Yeah,
throw in
right
Tuukka Rask, I don't know, throw in random.
Yeah.
You know? So I think like city champions cards, yeah, cool. Something like that. But one thing, it would be really unfortunate for one city because they've never won a championship in any sport.
Right.
In my research, I found out it's San Diego.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they've never won any championship in their history. So we can't do a city champions card because San Diego won't have anything at all. Sorry to any of the viewers or any of the listeners from San Diego on this podcast.
They're like, this is a horrible idea.
But yeah, I love the idea like now that Fanatics has taken over. It's like you can have different sports together.
I think that's a no-brainer. Yeah, let's tag Fanatics or, you know, Tops or one of the manufacturers. And I think the hard part will be, it'll probably be sticker autos though.
No, it can't be sticker autos.
It's got to be on card.
You gotta mail it from one player to another. It gets dinged up. Like, you know, it's like a, obviously I don't want 1,000 of these copies. It's got to be pretty rare. But it's like, you know, like even like iconic moments, like Jose Bautista bat flip. That's half the card. And the other half of the card is Kawhi's shot against Philly.
Ooh, that'd be huge.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like 93, Joe Carter beating the Phillies. Right? Wait, was the home run 93? Or was him catching the final out 93? Anyway, beating the Phillies, Joe Carter. And beating the 76ers, Kawhi. Like, how cool is that? Sorry to all the listeners from Philadelphia.
Will is just taking digs at cities.
Whatever. They've won championships. The Eagles won.
You didn't have to mention San Diego, but...
Yeah, San Diego.
This is salt in the wound, man. Come on.
It was just in my research. I was like, oh my God, they've never won anything.
Well, that's surprising, actually.
Actually, it is, yeah.
Yeah, dual autos.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm for it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I don't really have any creative. I think my lack of creativity. For me, I want Fanatics to fix the current hobbies issues, right? Like everything that we all love with like rare parallels. We talked about that already.
Yeah.
And this might be a bit of a hot take for people who love to enter breaks and for breakers, but I am okay with each hobby box not having numbered cards. If it means you're getting rid of red ray wave donut circle out of five, like if you're getting, you know, just putting nonsensical parallels to increase print run, I'd rather have the base card print run be massive, fine, run it. And then getting the red out of five, the true red, or getting the true gold out is going to be really, really, really difficult to get. And it's one in 40 boxes, one in 50. But I'd rather have that, like literally no hits. And maybe
I'm really off on that.
But I think the best medium is what we, best compromise is what we talked about, where all of the red rave and all of those nonsensical parallels have utility, so that eventually you can submit them and they're out of the system, so that not only does it satisfy the immediate chasers and the people who want some sort of reward for what they hit for their hits as they purchase breaks or whatever, it also satisfies the collector because all of those crap parallels are out of the system and all you're left is with the OG parallels. I think that's the move. And then
yeah.
Secondly, make relics great again. I want like everything has to be game worn. I think it'd be important to have like a QR code or something that shows where what game this is from. And then no more napkins. Like that at this point, we don't need relics numbered out of 199 and all you're doing is like 195 of them are white napkins and five of them have like an actual, no, forget that. Like number them out of 20 if you have to, and just put all of them like really sweet looking patches. I'm tired of like white napkins, gray napkins. That's I think that stuff is nonsense.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone would disagree with you there.
Yeah, but in John's world, we're just ripping packs of base cards. There's only 20 relics. There's only five autos. Yeah. There's no colors.
Yeah, well, that had to be, you know, part of, well, when you mentioned having the utility cards there, that's got to be part of the whole deal, right? If you want to eliminate some of those other parallels, the silly parallels, right? Because, yeah. So I'm with you there. If you include those other cards, like the Pizza Fracture, which was an amazing idea, if you guys remember. Yeah, you know? So I think I'm just bringing that back.
I just wanted to jump on. Like that's something that when I listened to your podcast, when you guys were talking about utility for those color parallels, I was like, that is a home run and a half. Mm. Like that is such a great idea because then there is some value to it, right? Like,
exactly.
You know, out of 50 gold Home Depot wave. And it's like, it's marketing, it's advertising. It's like, it's good for Fanatics. It's good for Home Depot, but it's also good for you because, hey, guess what? You got to go buy a rake or a snowblower. And this Home Depot, you know, gold Ray Wave, it gives you, you know, $100 at Home Depot, like a gift card or something like that. Or you can trade it in for a gift card and it gets it out of the system. So you're not having now like 300 golds, right? So it's like, I don't know. I love that idea. I thought it was such a smart way of keeping hits in the package or in the boxes, but also making it so that the collectors don't feel like they have to get it. Mm-hmm. Like that Taco Fractor, like that was so frustrating because we thought that was something that we had to collect.
Yeah. You know? Like, come on, we all know they're making it up as they went along. So
yeah.
So that's why it happened that way. But all right, I got an idea. You know, all the ones that are suggested by both you, Will, and John, very sensible, but I want to, like, you know, let's think even further outside the box, okay? And I kind of brainstormed this with you, John, off the air, but I'm gonna say it on the air now, okay? Alternate reality cards, right? So the idea I got is that, you know, with the Tom Brady and the Expos, you know, and just the whole kind of marketing around that. Let's take it another step forward, especially with the whole, you know, Shohei coming to the Jays rumor. Remember, you know, that's something. We John and I discussed it on the last Friday episode, but so I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the Brady. So how about if we had an alternate reality card series where it's like, what if Shohei did come to the Jays? So we have a Shohei in a Jays uniform autographed by Shohei. And it's kind of these what if cards, you know what I mean? Like, would you be interested in buying that? Although, you know, obviously it's not reality, but it's him. And, you know, like, you could put Shohei in a Giants uniform. He was rumored to go there. You could put, like, Mike Trout in a Phillies uniform. I heard stupid rumors about that, you know, going back to his hometown to play for the Phillies. Have Mike Trout in the Phillies uniform. He probably will just be an angel for life. But, you know, just having these alternate reality card series, and it's on Card Auto, you know, and it'll be kind of cool maybe to have, especially if you're, you know, a Toronto fan. I would have mixed feelings. I don't know. I don't know how people would feel, but yeah, what do you guys think?
It's salt in it.
That's what I was thinking.
It's like, man, that Shohei card, like, that's the thing too. Yeah. It's like, it's self-abuse because the idea of it's kind of cool. Like, do I want,
if someone gave it to you as a gift, Will,
yeah,
what would you do?
I kind of want that card. Yeah, I kind of want that card. But every time I look at that card, I'm just sad.
But wouldn't it make you feel better? You know, it's worth something, you know. Shohei, Toronto Blue Jays, in a Kanji Auto. Come on.
Oh, Kanji Auto. Just throw Kanji Autos everywhere. Honestly, like, the What If series from Marvel, like, growing up reading the comics... Yeah. The What If series was always, like, the most fun.
Okay.
Because it was, like, it wasn't based on reality. You could just do whatever you wanted. You didn't have to follow what's going on in previous episodes or in different series. Right. So, I totally like the concept of it. I would be so sad every day looking at this Shohei and a Blue Jays. I think there was a joke, like, a Topps Now card of Shohei in the plane. Mm. Coming to Toronto.
Okay.
Would I want that card too? Maybe. But it would hurt every time I look at it.
But you know what? Like, okay, forget about the Shohei because that's very personal to each one of us, right? That's very... we can't think straight when it comes to Shohei.
It's a great example.
But how about if it's like... Let's think the Mike Trout in the Phillies uniform, okay? Like, we all know Mike Trout's from Philadelphia or in that area. So just say you had a what if Mike Trout goes to his hometown in a Phillies uniform autograph. And then, by chance, 3 years later, he gets traded to the Phillies. This would actually be a card, the first card in his Phillies uniform. I think that would, like, triple its value all of a sudden. You know what I mean? You never know with this what if. There's so much potential.
I feel like you're reaching a little bit there, but...
This is like, it's just playing on the sadness of fans. Yeah. Like, who would want that card? Like, me as a Toronto fan... Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want that Mike Trout to the Phillies card because, like, what would
it's
I care?
Only maybe he's not Philly in a Toronto fans jersey. Would want it.
It's only Philly fans, and then they'd be sad. All right.
You know what?
Like, he's the never coming.
I think the card would be in limbo for those years where he doesn't actually get traded to the Phillies.
Okay, how about this? All right, let's get off the traded scenario. Another subsection of the what if alternate realities. You got a Vladdy Guerrero in, like, a Maple Leafs uniform. You know, the Brady with the Expos. Yeah. And, you know, you saw, and he signs, like, go Leafs go. Inscription, go Leafs go. in his Leafs uniform card, autographed, inscribed, go Leafs go.
I like how, Clark, you're being very creative. I respect that a lot. First and foremost, though, this...
Just say it.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I'm not saying it's a dumb idea. I'm not getting to that point. I'm just saying this goes against my my thing about making relics great again. Because, like, for example, the Shohei, you know, if you scan the QR code, it's not game worn. Like, what is that jersey? Like... Otani wore it sitting on the couch while laughing at all the Torontonians thinking he's flying over to Toronto. Like, what, you know, what does that mean, right? So I think the game worn aspect of it, realistically, I think is going to get me. I think it's not going to work for me.
Fine.
Sorry, man. No, but I in concept, it's actually a good thought.
I feel like there's something.
There could be something.
Okay. Obviously, the Brady one works really, really well.
Right. Yeah.
So you got to find like moments like that where it would be pretty cool, but you can't just do it.
Just make it up, like.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, who are we, Beckett over here? Like, just coming up with grade A ideas.
Boom, boom.
All right. Okay.
Random strays to Beckett.
You know, maybe I'll do another poll. I don't think I'm on an island here. I think there will be support for this idea. So we'll see.
Oh boy.
I have another one, and maybe we'll end off with this unless you guys have another one. And this is more sensible and reasonable, I think, because I just saw PSA do this, where they got Bobby Witt Jr. and they got an IP auto of Bobby Witt Jr. and I guess they slabbed it and they're giving it away. So I think this is just a no-brainer for all grading companies to do, right? Like, get a raw card, get an IP auto somehow, right? You know, like, you have connections with different sports teams, different athletes. Slab it in your slab, you know, good marketing there, and just give it away. Do it like giveaways once a month, you know? And you know, especially for grading companies that don't have a huge market share. Like, who's not going to want a free card and just getting it out there, right? You just got to get the IP auto. I'm just saying, that's I think that's an idea for the grading companies out there.
I think it only works for PSA because you're going to get that auto and then you're going to crack it out and send it to PSA.
you got to, yeah, I didn't think about that. All right. You mean you're not going to keep it in the HGA slab?
Or... I still have yet to own an HGA slab. Do you guys have an HGA
no.
slab?
No. Do they, no offense to them, do they still exist? Still around?
Yeah. It's a good question. Yeah.
Oh, actually, they did get bought out, right? They have like new investors.
Mm.
I think we talked about that. Anyways.
But we didn't know like who the what company
that's
was
right. That yeah. We didn't know anything about the company.
It's like Dunder Mifflin being bought out by Sabre. It's like, what? Okay.
Yeah. No, that Clark, I mean, truthfully, it's not a bad idea. I think that challenges grading companies to kind of step it up beyond just grading, like giveaways, this or that. Like, kind of give back to the community or whatever, you know, like, here's another promotion. You submit this amount of cards, you get this autograph. I don't know. I think there's ways in which that can work and that would be beneficial to the hobby and people would enjoy as collectors.
Yep.
Clark, I have it for your alternate reality.
Okay, let's go back to it.
You take fictional characters and you put them in pro sports. Mm. Teams. So, for example, Married with Children, mm-hmm. Al Bundy, right. He was like a high school, I believe he was a quarterback.
Yeah.
But he was like, that was his claim to fame, right? Like, he's always dining on his high school feats. You put him in like a New England Patriots jersey. You put Michael Scott in like a San Antonio Spurs jersey. You get all these fictional characters and you put them into a sport.
Yeah.
Alternate reality. There you go.
And if you could just get it autographed by the celebrity.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or like movie sports autos. That'd be great. Charlie Sheen from Major League.
Oh.
Would you want, exactly. I like this. Would you want, like in that Charlie Sheen Major League example, would you want him to sign it Wild Thing or like Charlie Sheen? Like what would, or both, I guess.
It's got to be Wild Thing.
Charlie Wild Thing Sheen or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that would be killer.
Like Henry Rohengartner.
Right.
No? No? Did you get the reference?
Who's Henry Rohengartner again?
he's the kid who breaks his arm and then he can throw really hard.
Yeah, oh, what movie?
Like was a pitcher. What was Sandlot? That movie called? No.
Oh, geez. What was it called?
I forget.
I know you like reference. Chicago Cubs. He was like the little...
All the listeners are going to be like screaming, like, it's this movie, you idiot.
Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah, him in a Cubs jersey, that'd be cool.
I think that'd be market for that. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? That's why we have this segment. This is just planting seeds and we just work it out. All right, let's go on to our last regular weekly segment we call Pick One. And this is where each of us will choose two players or two cards, and then we debate which one we would rather invest in. I know you guys were trying to think of one while we were recording. Did you guys have one? And then if you do, let's go.
I want to go first. All right. Last year, you guys had our buddy Roy on the podcast, mm-hmm. and I thought Roy did such a great job. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that episode.
Yep.
You know, I love Roy because the first time I came on to this podcast, Roy was just very effusive in his praise and just very encouraging.
So nice.
I want to give the same back to him and say that he did such a great job. And it was really nice listening to him talk about Pokemon and all that. So yeah. I was digging around on the internets and looking for something kind of off the wall, a little bit different. So I was looking at recent sales of Disney Lorcana. Mm-hmm. And so in this Disney Lorcana, it's a trading card game. Apparently, in the packs, they have error cards that are labeled discard. Like, I guess they're supposed to be discarded. I don't think it's like a discard function in the trading card game.
Right.
I think it's like a note that they're supposed to get rid of this card before they send it off, before they pack it. So this discard card has now found some value. It's like an error card. But what's even weirder about the discard card is that a couple of them have the holo foils, like the rarer holo foils that you usually find on the rest of the Disney Lorcana cards. They made their way onto the discard card. So yeah, Clark just pulled it up in our group chat. So John, that's a discard card that has the enchanted foil on it.
Mm-hmm.
It just sold for like 6,500
US. Get out of here. So it's just a card that says discard on it. It's not even an actual.
Yes.
It's not Mickey Mouse.
And it's got the... Nope. It's just a black card. It has no function in the game, as far as I can tell. And it's an enchanted holo. I guess that's like the rarest holo. So you can have that. Or you can pick the 1999... first edition Charizard holo in a PSA 7, which also sold on the same day for 6,500. Both of these in US. So which one would you pick?
That's PSA 7. This is so easy for me.
Yeah, because I think it's easy for me too.
Why?
I don't get this enchanted discard card. Why is it $7,000? It makes zero sense to me. I might be making the biggest mistake of my life by choosing the Charizard. It might go to 20K for absolutely no good reason.
Yeah.
Let me give you some pop. Okay. So PSA 7 Charizard, there's 512.
That's pretty low.
There are, mm-hmm. yeah, there's like 608, 709s, and like 125 10s. So let's just call it about 1,500 cards better grading than the PSA 7. Yeah, and there's 500 of the PSA 7s. So you're in the top 2,000.
Yeah, me too.
Versus a potential one of one.
Wait, how many of these are there?
There's only been like one or two that have surfaced.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, John, you go. I'm sticking with Charizard.
Oh man, that's tough. You know what?
John loves the rarities.
Yeah, man. that is kind of a quirky, funny thing. I'm concerned that Lorcana is one of those things that's hot, flash in the pan. I don't know if I'm not entirely convinced that it's here to stay, and it's just one of these hot sets. So that's what scares me the most. I think because I don't know that world, the whole TCG world that much, I'm not Roy. it has to be like, I have to go for the PSA. Like PSA 7 is a little, I don't like sevens, but 512, it's pretty rare. Give me the OG Charizard. That's number one. I think it, oh, actually, I can't say it's cooler. That discard card seems pretty cool. I'm kind of buying into the hype.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
It's a black card.
This is discard.
White font.
This is discard. Oh, gosh. No, I can't. I got to go with the Charizard. I got to be safe. No, you're not going to get me. There's just a little too much hype in Lorcana right now. I can't buy into it.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'll go with the discard, because last time John said, like, I'm not entirely convinced, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He was talking about Connor Bedard, okay? Oh, shoot. I don't know. There might be something with this Lorcana. Okay, forget it. Charizard. We're both going Charizard, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, every reasonable part of you tells you it has to be Charizard. Because, like, and I hope all the listeners will just, you know, when they get home, if they're driving right now while they're listening to the pod, or they'll pull over and they'll just Google it, like, enchanted Lorcana discard. It's the most useless looking thing of all time. It's like when you open up like packs of football and they have those little cards that are like, oh, win a chance to go to the Super yeah. Bowl. And it's like, you know, like those little like mm-hmm. info cards. And just imagine like some like a holographic got like accidentally printed onto one of those. Like, would that be valuable? Like, no.
No matter how rare.
Maybe.
Come on.
Yeah. So now I'm just like I'm so unsure, because everything tells you it has to be the Charizard. But I think I'm going to go with the enchant.
Wow, I can't believe it.
The discard.
I feel like this discard card would.
Collectors are weird.
From sports.
Like, we like weird
bringing
things.
It to sports cards. Let's say printing plates never existed. That wasn't a thing. And all of a sudden, you're ripping Topps Chrome. And there is a Shohei Ohtani printing plate that was never supposed to be inserted, and it's there. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like that. But I mean, obviously, it doesn't actually have a character. It's not Mickey Mouse or anything. But, you know, imagine a printing plate all of a sudden showing up in Topps Chrome, and you're like, what is this? Why is this in here? And then, boom, you have a pretty crazy item, right?
I think that's a really good way of... Mm. I mean, it's good and it's bad, because... Bad because we all hate printing plates because they put them in like too many of them. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. But if it like if the way you described it, if it's like all of a sudden just one just popped out and you're like, you've never seen it before. It's pretty cool. It's pretty wild. I'm going Lorcana. I'm convinced. John, come join me. You can flip.
Roy's gonna be shaking his head. Screw it. Yes,
yeah, 1v1.
I'm gonna go Lorcana too. let's roll the dice. You and I will own the only two in existence, and we'll just control the market.
That's hilarious. You know, I think we also broke a record for like, we're going to have another potential poll that we could put up. Three polls out of this one episode alone.
Yeah, there you go. We're just making good content.
It's a good sign for this podcast for 2024. See, there you go. Will's like, oh, this is stupid for 2024 to start the year off with this pick one.
Yeah, right. I felt bad to bring it up.
It ended up.
Now I'm happy. Now I'm happy we did.
All right. I like it. All right. Definitely provide entertainment. Okay, John, you have one?
So I have one written down. It's a pretty standard 1v1 that would probably be helpful to collectors. But with Will here, I got to switch it up. I got to go back to hypothetical, something that is absolutely not helpful to any of our listeners. And I think it'll be good because, Clark, I mean, we talked about this one last week, but I think Will would be... I want to hear what Will has to say.
Oh, okay, right.
So, Ohtani, Bowman Chrome... Super Fractor Auto, the Holy Grail, versus the Topps Now Ohtani Trout Dual Auto PSA 10 from Ohtani's personal collection. So the one that he has in his collection, right? There's only two PSA 10s in existence. One is Trout's, one is Ohtani's.
Right, yeah.
And then there's a PSA 9 that is Ohtani's translator. So the PSA 10 from Ohtani's personal collection, let's say made available to you, maybe even Ohtani gives it to you himself, versus the Bowman Chrome Superfractor Auto Ohtani.
What is the image for the Bowman Chrome Superfractor? Is that the one of him
the throwing where he looks like he's...
Where he looks like the crane.
He looks like he's toppling over, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the auto?
The grade on
what
it?
What do you mean, what's the auto?
No, no, what does the auto look like?
It's his second auto. You know, the one that's kind of like a scribbly line?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's not the kanji. It's not kanji,
no. No.
It's like the one that's like, yeah. Oh, man.
But that is probably considered the Holy Grail Ohtani card. But let's say Ohtani hands you from his personal collection the Topps Now World Baseball Classic Dual Auto PSA 10.
Yeah, it's kind of like when we talked about that Brady Bowman Chrome. Mm-hmm. It's like that card shouldn't be cool. It wouldn't be cool for most people. Like that top, like Topps Now is garbage, right? But that Topps Now card is really, really special. Yeah, it's Superfractor Auto.
It's Superfractor Auto. Well, okay.
Wow.
Why? That goes against all your reasoning for the Tom Brady that you chose before.
Yeah, it is. And like for me, like I always love collecting like weirder cards from a player. Like I don't like, I love the first year rookies, of course, but like I'll love like a fifth year veteran card where it's like it's a really beautiful looking card, like Jose Bautista's bat flip card, for example. That's not a rookie card. That's like he's like 12 years into his career at that point, but the art on that card is so beautiful. So I love those kinds of cards, and that's where the Topps Now is kind of getting me. But the allure of having the Bowman Chrome Superfractor Auto of the greatest player of all time. I can't say no. Yeah. Go Super Auto. Wait, what did you guys pick? I don't remember listening to this.
No,
this
it was off air.
Oh, it was off air. Yes. Okay. So I wanna hear what you guys say. Maybe I'll change my mind.
I think I chose, I can't remember what I chose either when we're talking about, but I think I chose the Superfractor as well. Did I?
I don't remember. I can't remember.
But I think it's because what you're talking about before about like, John, where, you know, this whole Tom Brady thing is just a marketing thing. Whereas Shohei, he's an actual player, proven, and this is actually his rookie card. Do you know what I mean? And it's not just a marketing thing. So I think it'll retain its value because of that, because he's such an awesome player. So that's why. And the other reason why I think I mentioned is like, I would feel too guilty trying to like sell the Topps Now card because he would know exactly where it came from. It's like, this is a one of two, buddy. I gave it to you.
Yeah.
And you're listing it on Golden Auctions. So
thank you, Shohei. This means so much. I'm so happy right now. And then next day, Golden Auctions.
And then like, but remember what you did to the Blue Jays? Yeah. I'm selling it, okay? Yeah, so Superfractor Auto for me as well.
Oh, but it has both their autos.
Yeah. It's an awesome card.
This
though,
is
no
doubt. This is a tough one. I think those two cards would be the holy grails. If it was ever made available, I think they would. I actually personally think it could compete with the Superfractor, if we're being honest. Maybe I'm a bit too optimistic about that, but I am going to pick the Topps Now card. It's not as pretty. It's Topps Now. But that's what collectors want now. I think the new age of collectors want to see, yes, they want rarity, but they're kind of moving away from what production makes, you know, as rare or defines as rare versus what is actually rare and what is actually cool and worthy of an amazing, amazing top tier collection. And I think the Ohtani Trout from his Ohtani's personal collection, like if that ever got out and was in the hands of somebody, you know, and maybe PSA relabels it. You know how they had the sometimes for like very iconic collections, they'll label it and it gets relabeled as the Ohtani collection PSA 10. So you can define whether this is Ohtani's one or Mike Trout's one. I think they could make that exception. I think it'd be just way, way too cool and have investment value all around. PC collection, investment, whatever. It would suck that you probably couldn't sell it because, you know, if Ohtani handed it to you, like, man, that's a pretty sentimental gift. But yeah.
Yeah.
Give me the tops now. I think that would be just way too crazy of a card to own. And it goes beyond sports card collectors. I think memorabilia collectors would also be big time in on that card.
True. I can see that for sure. Mm-hmm. Another good one. Another poll. We're at 4 polls now that we can that we can use from this episode. All right. I'm going to go with a more sensible one. Someone's got to bring it back down, right, to reality. So my pick one, actually, this is the one I saved from before in 2023, but I'll use it now. And this is when we're talking about hockey cards, which didn't get recorded, but here it is. The Crosby Young Guns PSA 10. All right. Pop count of 1057. Okay. Versus Ovechkin Young Guns PSA 10. Pop count of 1184. So about the same, 1100, let's say, in the middle. But the Crosby Young Guns last sold for 2500 PSA 10. And the Ovechkin sold for 4000.
I'm going to. A little bit of asterisks, but I think you guys, you know what I'm after, right? So I think you would think Crosby. The easy answer is going to be Crosby, but I'm actually going to go Ovi. And I say asterisks because I think it can go below 3,500. He's having a tough year. I'm sure everybody still believes he's going to hit the record, but if you get some people that don't believe it's going to happen or they're not as excited about it anymore because maybe he'll sputter towards the finish line. That's great for Ovi collectors because I think that's just going to give you some more buying opportunities. I think the volatility for Ovi is more in the near future than it is. I'm after Crosby for more personal reasons. The Future Watch right. was something, a card that I always wanted. But investor-wise, I think Ovi's the pick. And I think you have to wait a little bit more to get a bit of a better price, but Ovi's the pick for me.
Okay. Wow. Surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Will?
Yeah. I think, I don't know why, but I've always really liked Ovechkin more. I don't know why. I'm a bad Canadian. I'm a bad, bad Canadian. I feel like, you know why? Because Ovi's flashier.
Yes.
He has more of a personality. You know, Crosby's like if you were to make a hockey player, that's how you would make him, right? Like, he's like Captain America. He's like always straight and narrow. He's always doing the right thing. And I just feel like Ovi just has a little bit more flash, a little bit more pizzazz, and that's what I'm going for. I'm going for more characters than anything else. And I think hitting that mm-hmm. record, and then like you're saying, his cards being down in value, I feel like there's more room for growth there. So I'm going to go Ovi.
Wow. I think I didn't expect this, but it's going to be Ovechkin sweep, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of Young Guns. It's just like a base card for me, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like the PSA 10, the rarity is kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Manufactured right. almost, you know? It's just like there's so many of them out there. So it's really looking for that condition, the grade. Yeah. But yeah, if I'm as an investment, like I'm looking at the peak prices of both. Sidney Crosby, it went as high as 5,000, probably in 2021, right? Yep, 2021. And Ovechkin, it went as high as 9,000. Okay, so almost double. And they've both gone down significantly, obviously, 5,000 to 25, so 50% for Sidney. And like more than 50% for Ovechkin since its peak. And with the you know, him chasing the all-time goring, like that's you know, I don't know what else will make Sidney Crosby's card rebound. You know, what else he can do? Maybe win a couple more Stanley Cups, maybe, but we know that's hard to do, right, for any hockey player. And whereas Ovechkin, the goal record is just in his sight in 2 to 3 seasons. And, you know, if he stays healthy, we can, and he reaches that goal, then I could totally see the card rebounding at least, maybe not all the way up to 9,000, but maybe 5, 6. That's in the realm of possibility. Right. So for that reason, I'm going Ovechkin.
I wonder if we're fooling ourselves and the goal record was already baked in last year. You know, his card popped already. And we're all thinking it's going up, it's going to go up, and he's actually going to get the record. Maybe he sputters towards it. He gets like 12 goals 4 seasons from now, and he hits the record. Everyone's going to be like, yay, Ovechkin.
That, you know, that is also possible. So, but like Crosby, the argument still stands. I don't know what else it would take for his cards to at least have a chance to go up, unless he wins a cup, which, you know, I don't know if that's a possibility. More of a possibility than Ovechkin eventually reaching his goal.
I mean, I think for both of these guys, it's regardless, it's going to be a good investment because they're T-minus 2, 3, 4 seasons away from retiring. And I think they're going to be greatly celebrated in the hockey community. So either or is a great pick.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to stop. And that's a wrap on the first episode of season 4. As always, we appreciate all you guys tuning into the pod. You know, we got some cool stuff ahead this year on Cards to the Moon. You can expect more guests, more giveaways, more hobby content. And we love it if you all told your friends about our pod and come join us every week. Okay. We'll see you next week for a brand new episode.
Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at 5cardguys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU at Recess. You can also check us out at 5cardguys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.